morning, I thought, Lord, I can't preach out of the same book 2 weeks in a row. And the Lord said, well, you're going to have to. And so that began a good fight that didn't seem to last too long. He won. So here we are this morning, and I wrestled with this because I thought maybe that I'd preach this or use these verses since I've been here, but I'll never be able to preach anything new. As long as I live, I'll have to preach what the Lord gives me, and I'll be able to preach out of these 66 books. And there's always things new that we can find as far as new scriptures that maybe we've not read before. But these scriptures will never grow old. The same message that is in here has been from everlasting, and it will be to everlasting. So in the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and we'll start our reading with the 10th verse, and then maybe we'll cover a little bit of background study for this this morning. But the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and the 10th verse, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, or I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And if we could take for a lesson text this morning, it would be that 13th verse and just that first part. And it says, "And ye shall seek me." And if I could title this this morning, it would be "Seeking the Lord in a World That Will Not." I thought about these verses of Scripture, and maybe you're wondering what was taking place for them to be held captive for 70 years. But over in the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we read about how the Lord had told Judah, if you would ignore the warnings of all the prophets that have come to you, that I will hold you captive, that I will hold you captive to this King Nebuchadnezzar, and I will make you spend 70 years there. In captivity of Babylon. And I want to make mention this morning that I believe that seeking the Lord is something that is not just profitable for a lost person, but it's very profitable for a saved person. I think we as God's people, and I want to say this also, that I believe seeking the Lord is something that a lost person must do. But I also believe, as much as that, I believe those of us, once we get saved, we can never stop seeking the Lord. Now, I don't seek the Lord this morning for salvation. That was taken care of many, many years ago. I don't worry about my soul anymore. And I don't seek the Lord for His saving grace. But I do seek the Lord for His counsel on everything else that comes before me in this life. And I believe that it's good that us as God's people will seek the Lord this morning. Amen. You know, He was telling them here. He says, "Now I'm going to hold you captive for 70 years." Now, none of us this morning would think very highly of being held captive for 70 years. But I'm going to tell you this morning that a lot of people never seek the Lord until there's trouble in their lives. I've seen it many times. People will get saved, they'll get out of church, and they'll never seek the counsel of the Lord. You know, that's a terrible way to live. I believe those of us that have been saved, we have somebody to call upon all the days of our life. You know, I believe those that were here, Judah. We've talked a lot about Judah. We've talked a lot about Israel. Oh, they always seem to get in trouble a lot of the times. Oh, it seems like they were always doing something silly. Well, newsflash, that's a lot of the times how we are. You know, we won't seek the Lord until there's problems. I'm going to contend this morning. I'm going to say this morning that I believe that if we'll seek the Lord in everything that's going on in our lives, the bad times will not seem as bad as they really are. Because if we'll seek the counsel of the Lord, when we come into our problems, when we come into bad things in our life, God will already be on our side. I think that seeking the Lord is something that we have forgotten about. It's not been preached about. Our people today don't even know how to seek the Lord. Oh, and when they do seek the Lord, they don't know what's on the other side. I want to read these verses. I want to go through them with you this morning. And it says, and this was a letter to the exiles, Jeremiah's letter. He was a prophet. We know that. And we know that maybe these people that were there, maybe they had had in their mind that God had turned away from them, that He didn't love them. And I know a lot of times in my life, I felt that God didn't love me, that I had strayed away so far that He wouldn't care for me anymore. But I'm going to say today that even in our worst times, God still loves us. And I believe He still loved them. If He did, if He didn't, He wouldn't have said this. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken," or "I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." I'm going to tell you what seeking the Lord means this morning. It means not going to the Lord and maybe pitifully asking, and I'm going to say it that way because I myself have a constant thing that I'll go to the Lord and I'll begin to pray and I'll say, "Lord, you know, I need help with this. Lord, I need this thing in my life." And I just expect that God is going to be there to grant my wishes. I'm going to tell you this morning, God is not some person in the sky. He's not the genie that you go rub the head and He gives you all these wishes. I believe that God heard a preacher this week say that God was not made, or God is not there to grant us happiness in this life, to see that we get everything that we want. And I'm inclined to agree that that is true. Now I want to say this morning, and it's not popular to believe this, but being saved does not necessarily mean prosperity. And it doesn't. We live in a world today that I believe is so focused on prospering and everything that they forget that all good things come. They've forgotten if they would seek the Lord, that the things of this life, they don't matter anymore. They don't matter in our lives when we seek the Lord. And it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Amen. Now the moment that you got saved, if you've been saved, and I'm going to contend this morning that when you got saved, you had to search for the Lord with all of your heart. If you didn't, you didn't get saved. I believe that salvation is a heart work. I believe it's something that happens right down deep in here, and I believe we must seek after Him. I believe it's important that we seek Him with all of our hearts. But we live in a world today, and it's been taught, it's been told, and it's been believed for a long time that seeking the Lord stops the moment we get saved. It does not. Seeking the Lord must go on. I believe that us as saved people, if we're going to have lives that are surrounded or are kept by God's grace or are in the middle of God's honor and glory, I believe we must seek the things that God wants us to do. And then when God gives us things to do, when He allows us to have those moments of clarity, it's good to take the things that God has given us and go with it. It says, "And ye shall seek me." You know, I've thought about this many times. If you're anything like me, you can lose something at the drop of a hat. I can lose things like it is nobody's business. I can put things in places. I can put it on the counter. And I will go back in 5 minutes and the thing has jumped halfway across the house. And I'm thinking, "Well, how did it move? You moved it, silly." But I'm going to contend this morning that God does not change. Who changes? We do. We change every day that we live. We're changing. I hate to say this morning, but I'm getting older. And with me getting older, it means you get older. And when you get older, the people before you, they get older. So we're constantly in this world of change. But God doesn't change. So these things that I seek out, these things that I lose in this life, you know, they're constantly being moved around. But God doesn't change. God is always there so I can find Him. God is always in the exact same spot that I left Him. And it was me that left Him. And before anybody runs out here this morning and says, "Brother Taylor preached last week that you can lose your salvation, but this week he is preaching you can lose your salvation," I say no to that. I say we never lose our salvation. If you lost it, you never had it to begin with. Seeking the Lord does not mean going back for salvation. It means going back in our times of trouble. It means repenting of our salvation. is lost today. I'm going to tell you this morning. Those here, I believe they had to spend these 7 years in captivity to realize that God was their God and they needed Him. I believe that. I believe sometimes we're held in captivity so that God shows us, I'm your God and you need me. You know, there's many times that I've told you before, I have thought, I can do it on my own. I don't need you, Lord. And guess what? Here He comes. And He shows me somehow, and He always does it. He always shows me that I need Him worse than He needs me. And I don't mean that to be a Debbie Downer this morning. I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm going to say that anybody that God saves, God loves, and God will use. But we have to want to be used. You know, I've prayed a lot of times that God would give me something to do, or He would lead me to do something, or show me where I needed to be, or what I needed to do next. And guess what? I'd seek out His will in something, and then when I got my answer, I didn't like the answer that I had, so I would run the opposite direction and say, Lord, not me. You've heard my calling to preach. I was a song leader, didn't want to preach. Guess what? Had to preach. I sought that out. I sought that God would give me something to do. And when He gives it to me, I'm not willing to give up my pride. And I think that's something today that is very prevalent in our society. It's not giving up our pride. And I'm going to tell you this morning that seeking with all of your heart, going to the Lord with a broken heart. And I'm going to tell you sometimes, being a saved person in our lives, we've got to go back to the Lord with a broken heart, because a lot of times we live in this world and it breaks our heart. There are many things that beset me on my way and it breaks my spirit. A lot of times I'll turn on the news, watch it 5 seconds, and I'm as sad as I can be because of the things that are going on around me. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to contend for this morning is that I stop seeking the things that the world says is happiness. And I seek after the things that God says is happiness. I want to say this. This morning, these verses of Scripture have always been very fond to me. When I was younger, and after I first got saved for Christmas one year, I got this little statue that sits beside my bed. And when I first got it, it was a man that was knelt over like a kitchen table or kitchen chair. And as time went on, the back broke off of it, so it no longer looks like a chair, but it looks like an altar. And if you could look at this man, and it's a kind of a bronze, or a kind of a discolored bronze, if you will, a statue that sits by my bed, and every morning that I get up, I see that. The man in the statue is not somebody that looks like he has a lot of money. You can look at his shoes, and you can see that he doesn't wear the best that money can buy. He doesn't have the best suit on. But guess what he's still doing? He's still knelt down seeking the counsel of the Lord. He's still seeking after the one that has helped him. And obviously there's no story. There's no real man behind the man in that statue, but it is a very real application to our lives. We are never too old to stop praying. We're never too old to give up on the Lord. We're never too grown or too big to say that we don't need the Lord. Every day should be a new adventure to seek after the Lord. Seek after what today is for. Seek after what tomorrow is for. We must be about seeking the Lord's will. I'm encouraged and I'm convinced that God wants us to seek after Him. I'm going to read you a few verses of Scriptures over in the book of Acts. If the Lord will be our helper. And this is dealing more with the lost people, but I believe it is still has some wonderful things for us that are saved. I believe the verses of Scripture in Jeremiah, you can take those two ways. You can say, if you'll seek after the Lord with all of your heart, you will be saved. I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you that God gives us peace in our lives. When we seek after Him, sometimes the things that we're looking for, we say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. I am all the time saying, Lord, I want that. And sometimes all that God gives me is peace to be satisfied with what I have. You know, I'm going to say something this morning that I believe is very true. I believe that being satisfied and peaceful with what we have is a whole lot better than to be upset and in an uproar over something that we don't need to begin with.
I contend this morning that being satisfied with what God gives us is a whole lot better off in this life than killing ourselves for things that someday will not amount to anything. Because things in this life, they will pass away, but the things of God, they will never pass away. I'm convinced of that this morning. I am very convinced of that this morning. Acts in the 17th chapter. Paul was going to Athens. You know, and Athens would be a place in Greece. It would have been a big city. It would have been a major city in this time. And Paul was going there. Paul was, it says in the 16th verse of the 17th chapter, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city was wholly given unto idolatry." Paul went to Athens and he looked at this city and he saw it was completely given over to different gods, to different idols, and things that were not what he was teaching and preaching about. It says it stirred his spirit. We know today that people are seeking after everything else but God. I told you that our lesson title this morning was Seeking After God When the World Will Not. It is not popular anymore to seek God and to seek His will, to seek His guidance and things. It's not popular. I'm not preaching a popular message because people today are so convinced that they don't need God. People today think it's a weak thing to need God. Then I must be the weakest person that has ever lived, because I'm going to say this morning that I need God today, I needed Him yesterday, and I will need Him tomorrow. And that will always be something that I'll be able to say, because I will need God until this breath is taken out of my body. You know, this world is not going to seek after the Lord. It doesn't want to, but I'm going to tell you, people are seeking after something. This city here in Athens, they were obviously seeking after something. They were seeking anything that would help them, and they'd been given completely over to idolatry. I want to read some more verses in this chapter. And it says in the 22nd verse, and Paul was fixing to address these men here at Athens. He was fixing to tell them something, and I believe it was very real. Because as I told you, people don't want to seek after the Lord. But Paul gave them some very good instructions. He said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Or otherwise you're looking to everything but the thing that really will help you. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, I come to declare unto you this unknown God that you know nothing about. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He need anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations and one of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." These are the verses that I want to get to, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art of man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in that which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again in this matter. So Paul departed from among them. And it says some even listened to what Paul said. Some sought the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him. What does Paul tell them here? He says, the Lord of heavens, He does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. The God that I seek is not a graven image. The first sermon I ever preached here was, He is alive. The God that I have is not dead in some tomb somewhere. He's not in the ground. My God is alive, and that's who I seek this morning. You know, it'd be very hard to seek after someone that's dead. You may say, "Preacher, that sounds pretty silly. All you have to do is go find a where he's dead." And I'm going to tell you, when someone dies, there's no help from that person anymore. Therefore, my God is not dead. My God is alive, very much so this morning. He's the one that helps me. The God that Paul was talking about, he says, "He needeth not anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." You see, the person that they were writing this altar to, or that the inscription above it said to the unknown God, who they would go around and worship all of the other gods here in Athens. You know who they were worshiping? Lord. But guess what? Their worship wasn't anything that God was seeing, because they were ignorantly worshiping Him. You know, we've got a lot of people today that are ignorantly worshiping the Lord. You may say, "Preacher, again, you're being very mean or very hard-nosed in your beliefs." I'm going to tell you this morning that God doesn't get an ounce of glory out of some of these rituals that some people do that say that helps them get saved. There's nothing in this world that saves a person but the blood of Jesus Christ. God gave them that. God gave us our life. He gave us our breath. So who are we going to seek after? We're going to seek after the Lord. This person, this unknown God that you have written this altar to, that's who you need to seek after. Go after that one, happily, that you might find Him, though He be not far from any one of us. You know, I'm going to say this morning, that a lot of times we find ourselves almost seemingly at the end of a rope, at the end of our line, at the end of our almost at the end of our, I will say, our wits' end sometimes. We get there, and I do, I know you do, I know we all do. I've been there. You've been there, no doubt. We get to our wits' end sometime, and we think, as saved people, God is so far from me that I can't get back to Him. It says, though He be not far from any one of us. I contend this morning that if we'll seek after the Lord in everything, that He will help us. He will help us here at church. He'll help us in our jobs. He'll help us in our families. He'll help us in anything that we'll ask Him to be a part of. And I'm going to say this. I believe that God can be a part of every single one of our lives, but we can always push Him away. You know, there have been many times I've made decisions that God was not a part of. I'm sad to say that this morning. But you know, I strive today to seek after the Lord in everything that I do. You may say, "Preacher, do you ask Him what kind of milk you need to put in your cereal in the morning?" No, I don't believe that that matters to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what I do believe matters to the Lord is what we do with our lives. Because guess what? Our lives should give honor and glory to the Lord. When we become saved, we are His mind, body, and soul. What we do does affect Him. I've heard people say all of my life, "What I do doesn't affect anybody else." Oh, yes, it does. If you've been saved by the grace of God, what you do does affect somebody else. It affects the Lord. And I'm going to contend that we need to seek after Him. I thought about these verses of Scripture over in David, and I'm going to try to close in a few moments if the Lord will be our helper. I've got a few more verses of Scripture, if the Lord will help us, that I feel like we need to read. I want to tell you a little bit about Daniel this morning because I believe this is someone that sought the Lord. I believe this is someone that when the world said, "We won't seek the Lord," he said, "We will seek the Lord." And what an example he is to us today. We're living in a time almost like that Daniel was. Daniel in the 6th chapter. King Darius had made a decree that no other gods could be prayed to. That Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And this was more or less a plot against Daniel because people knew that Daniel was a good man. They knew that Daniel, if you tried to dig too far into his past life, that you wouldn't find much, because that he lived a life that was pleasing unto the Lord. People want to tear people down that try to do right. They always will, always have. And I guess as long as we live, people will enjoy watching people fall. And it says in the 10th verse, after Darius had signed this decree, and I believe it was for 30 days, that they weren't allowed to pray to any other god or to acknowledge any other god. And it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall he be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Now I'm going to say this morning that I don't believe that Daniel went into his chamber and did this to defy King Darius. I don't believe he did that out of spite. I really don't. I believe that Daniel went to pray because it was something that he knew he needed to do. I believe that Daniel had a way about him that everybody knew that Daniel would pray even though the world said not to. I believe they knew that. Obviously, these men, they were going to try to catch him up. They went to his window, and no doubt they looked in, and they could see Daniel. They were there praying. And I believe he was probably praying with earnest desire. I believe that. I believe if we know anything about Daniel, we know that he prayed because he knew he needed the Lord's help. Acts 5 and 29 says, for we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, when the world says no, when the world looks at us and says, don't seek after that foolish God that you serve, we should seek Him more. When the world says no, and the world is saying no that we live in today, it's not popular to seek the Lord. I'll say a lot of times, well, you know, I'll have to pray about it. And I mean that because I believe that prayer is key in the life of a saved person. Had Daniel not done this, well, he would have never been cast in the lion's den. And we know the story. He was cast in, and guess what the Spirit of the Lord did? It jammed that lion's jaws up, and there's not a way in this world that lion could have gotten to Daniel. And oh, Darius, that next morning he ran to the lion's den, and he looked in and he said, Daniel's alive. I don't believe Darius wanted Daniel to be killed. I want to read you a few more verses of Scripture out of Daniel in this same chapter. In the 25th verse, it says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be ever unto the end. This is the God that I want to seek after. The same God that Daniel sought after is the God that I want to be the king of my life. And guess what? He is the king of my life. I made him that a long time ago when he saved my soul. The first time I ever sought the Lord, I could take you back there. I was sitting on the A Women corner there at Pleasant Hill on the end of the road. And Sister Sarah Brandon, I believe is her last name at the time, she stepped out from the bench there at Pleasant Hill. She came to talk to me. And she got there and she said, you lost? I went to the altar because I knew I was lost. I knew that I needed to seek the Lord. People today, they don't know that we must seek the Lord for salvation. But even more than that, people don't know after they get saved that we still need to seek the Lord. I sought the Lord for a number of years. I think it was about 5 years that I sought the Lord on all kinds of different altars, all kinds of different benches, and all kinds of different places. I remember when I was younger, I'd ride around the neighborhood we lived in on my bike, and I would pray and I'd ask the Lord to save me. He didn't save me there, but it was fresh on my mind. I knew I needed to be seeking Him. Until one night I sought after Him and I found Him. What a joy it is to find the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. But as a saved person, there's no greater joy than when we get in a shape to where we need the Lord's help, and I'm going to contend that we need to be just like Daniel. Do I mean pray three times a day? Guess what? We need to be praying more than three times a day. We need to be seeking the Lord more than three times a day. I believe that if we'll pray all the time, pray without ceasing, God will help us. I believe that we need to seek the Lord. You know, I will say this, and I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. I believe very wholeheartedly in prayer. I believe it's wonderful. I believe if we're not praying, something is wrong. I thought to myself as I was coming down here, did you pray yesterday? And I went back and I thought about a few times that I began to pray. I was praying once yesterday, and you know, it just seemed like the Lord just got in there with me. And I thought, you know, I wish all of Mount Calvary could be here with me right now. Me and the Lord just got in a big way. You know, that's the kind of God that I serve. Amen. You know, I love being at church. I do. In my opinion, there's nowhere else I'd rather be than at God's house. We need to seek the Lord here. But it doesn't need to just stop at 11:59 on Sunday afternoon. It needs to go with us all week long as saved people. And I'm going to contend and go a little farther as Christian people. I make a distinction between saved and Christian because I believe there is a difference. I believe if we want to be Christian people, we need to pray and act like it. Seeking the Lord is a part of a Christian life. It's a part of showing the world that we're not like you are. We are a peculiar people. And we want God to be first in our life. You know, I'll say this and then I'm going to try to close. I had some more scriptures that I was going to try to read, and well, they're gone. So, you know, when we get down to the end where the Lord wants us to be, we have to stop there. I'm going to say this today as a church. And there are wonderful people here today. I believe that this is one of the prayingest churches that I've ever been in. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. And you may say, preacher, how do you know? Number one is because when I get behind this sacred desk, I feel the prayers. And that's something that I love. I appreciate that. I want you to seek the Lord on my behalf, not because of me, but because that I'm the pastor and that I need to preach messages that will help you and will help the people that will visit this church and those that might be lost. You know, when they come, I want to be able to preach messages that will help them to realize that they're lost. And we must seek the Lord to that end. To go a step further, we've got to seek the Lord for what needs to go on in these services. I believe that these services, when we come in here, we should assault the Lord all week long so that God will be here. Amen. He's got to be here. I believe that He's here. Every time that I come to these doors, I'll step in. Sometimes just go sit in my office. And I can feel the Lord. I'm thankful for that. As a church, we've got 52 Sundays this year. We just left a year and had 52 in it. We've got 52 more this year. We've got some Wednesday nights that we're going to throw in there. We've got some Sunday nights we're going to throw in there. You know, I know everybody can't make all of them. But as a church, we need to seek the Lord for His guidance that we might be able to be here and be able to serve the Lord in the Spirit and in the truth. We need to seek the Lord to that end. I'm going to ask you this morning, and I'm going to challenge you this morning. I don't typically do this, never done this before in my life, but I'm going to ask you to. Because I believe if we want to see great things happen at Mount Calvary and in our lives, if we want to see our lives changed all around us, we need to seek the Lord for everything. Amen. It's good to pray. I believe you all pray. I believe that. I'm going to challenge you this morning. As we go through the month of January, and like I said, I typically don't do this. This is very crazy for me. I don't know what time you all pray. I don't have a set time every day. And I'm not going to ask you to set necessarily a time. But at about noon every day this month, if you remember it, I hope and pray that it will be ingrained into your mind to pray for the services here at Mount Calvary, to pray for this year at Mount Calvary. I'm going to ask us to unite ourselves in prayer, seeking the Lord for His guidance and His will, that we will grow stronger, that we'll grow in spirit, we'll grow in truth, that we'll grow in grace and in knowledge. If we'll come together as a church and as God's people and seek His will, all the things that can happen, and I believe they will, when we seek the Lord. Amen. So about noon every day this year, or this month, we'll start out this month, I want you to pray. If you don't think of it till 12:30, pray then. Don't forget to pray for this church. You know, I'm not just saying just this church. Pray for all of God's churches. Brothers and sisters, we need a revival. Amen. In this nation. We do. Why not let it start here at Mount Calvary? Why not? You may say, preacher, you're a little fanatical this morning. Guess what? I'm a fanatic about my Lord. I truly am. And I want to see His cause further. So if you will, this month, as we go into the noon hour, as you take your lunches, just say a few words in prayer for this church. Just say a few. So that we as God's people will grow together to serve the Lord. I'm excited about 2016. I've been excited since the day you all called me to pastor this church. I was excited about the end of 2015. But all the places that we can go if we will seek the Lord's help. And it's not just about church. That noontime prayer, pray for yourself. Pray about studying a little bit more. Pray for about praying a little bit more. Pray that God will help us. I hope and pray that your lives, I hope and pray that your year is the best that it has ever been. And will, I hope it just continues on in the next year and the next year after that. I hope they're wonderful. I'm going to tell you though, if we don't seek the Lord, things will be tough. We need the Lord's help. May God bless you is our prayer this morning. Let's stand and let's sing. Like I said, I typically don't challenge people to do those kinds of things. You know, in my mind, a lot of times, I know that people will forget about it by the third day that, you know, they're supposed to do it. I understand. A lot of times, there's things I don't remember because if you know me very well, you know I don't really remember but my birthday. So if I miss birthdays, it's because I can't remember them. I can't remember much of anything. But I am of the opinion that when people unite themselves, things can happen. I want us to unite ourselves as a Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and be a light to this community. May God bless you, sir.